Blog Talk Radio.
Of Knuckle Up Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, my co-host and the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis. What's going on, brother?
You know, when you live in Colorado, it is just baffling how 1 minute, literally, it can be 82 degrees, breaking temperature, breaking records for how hot it is, and then within an hour, have 3 inches of snow. And that is what we're dealing with here in Colorado, and I got to be honest, it is making me look forward to this weekend's fights that much more because I know I'm going to be stuck at home.
Well, I'm definitely sorry to hear that. I think we're done with the snow on our side. So I'll be thinking about you, quite honestly. As much snow as we had. You know, man, look, as much snow as we had, in all honesty, I'm done with all of it, you know, pretty much. I told you. July 10th, I'm going to buy a snowblower. So I wasn't joking about that. Sorry, fans. Josh just had a drop call. They'll call right back in the show. That's him right now. I see you dropped your call there. So it's all good.
Yes.
But anyway, let's get to it. News that was just released this week, less than 48 hours ago. Phil Davis signs with Bellator. Did you get any more information about that?
Okay. So took me a while to track down exactly what was going on. Because to be honest, I was under the impression that Phil Davis had two more fights left on his contract. And while he did, he had the option to opt out and become a free agent, essentially. And that's what he did. He was hoping that the UFC would give him more money. While Dana White likes Phil Davis, you know, loves Phil Davis, he has been very adamant that he doesn't think Phil is a true fighter. He doesn't think Phil is a finisher. And he doesn't think that Phil is how do I say this, championship quality material at 205 pounds. And so when Bellator gave him the offer that they did, the UFC basically said, yeah, you should take that offer because we're not going to do anything close to that. And so he did. And, you know, for Phil, financially, absolutely, it makes the most sense because they're paying him a lot of money. He's got a lot of guaranteed money. He gets a lot of he has the option for a lot of bonus money. For Phil, it was a great contract. And while everyone wants to be, you know, in the UFC and all that kind of stuff, just from a financial standpoint and thinking about the future of his family, this was the right decision for him to make.
Look, I agree. You know, thinking about Phil Davis is the fact that he's a boring fighter. He approaches everything as a wrestling match. He's not a finisher. He wins just to win points. You know, a la Ben Askren. You know, that's what Bellator wants. He's playing the game. He's winning fights. Will I tune in to watch all of his fights? Probably not. You know, I'm just being honest because I'm a more dynamic guy. I like a little bit of flash every now and then. I like to see a good fight. He's just not that fighter. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't win fights. And when it comes down to looking at this business as a business, if it's about the money, man, go get the money. You know, that's what it's about. Go get the money. And, look, I had a feeling that that was it about when I first saw it, that he wasn't getting the money that he thought he should get. But, hey, you know, we'll also see if he can deliver in Bellator, because Bellator really is just only a piece of the puzzle. Do they have some good fighters at Bellator? Yeah. Are they world-class fighters? Yeah. In my opinion, are they top 10 fighters? No. At best, I would say top 20. And that's just basically maybe 20 to 11. You know what I mean? I mean, they haven't really squared off against the elite top 10 fighters in mixed martial arts across the board, in my opinion. So, but that's what you get when you have promotions. You know what I mean? Unless you have the top guys willing to put it up and fight, and just fight, you know, you're always going to have that. Right now, just being honest, the UFC probably has the top 10 fighters in the world just based on promotion. Until they stack those guys up with other guys, different promotions, and we see the type of fights and cross promotion that we're getting ready to see May 12th with Pacquiao and Mayweather, you know, it'll always be in that order as far as I'm concerned right now for mixed martial arts.
Oh, it definitely will be. And, you know, I absolutely, a lot of people have texted me, tweeted me, emailed me, oh, my God, how can Phil Davis do this? You know, he's stepping down to the minor leagues, this, that, and the other. And, you know, I will never call Bellator the minor leagues because they're not. They are the clear number two MMA promotion in the United States. There's no question about that. So is he stepping down in competition? Yes. Is he going to be the best 205-pound fighter on the Bellator roster? I would say so. I think he can beat Tito. I think he can beat Rampage. I think he can beat King Mo. So, and I certainly think he can beat Emmanuel Newton and so on and so forth. I think he is the best 205-pounder that the Bellator has. But you bring up a good point. You know, with that being said, that means that the best guy they have is you know, I think he was ranked 8th or 9th in the last USA Today poll. So, yeah, they don't have the top guys, but they do have money, and they're trying to change that. And it'll take some time, but I think signing a guy like Phil Davis will open up the doors with some of the other UFC guys that just, you know, were scared to do that. We had Gilbert Melendez who was willing to do that. He's, you know, a big-name guy. Now we have Phil Davis who's willing to do that. These are guys who are currently in their prime. They're not guys like Tito Ortiz or Rampage who are definitely on the downside of their career. These are guys in their prime, willing to pass up less ideal situations with the UFC and take what looks to be a better situation in Bellator. And to be honest, I think that's great. I think that, again, is going to open up the door for other guys to do the same thing, which eventually would lead to parity in the sport.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. If he's the first one and, you know, guys will not have a choice with what Bellator is doing and how they're doing it, you know, to come in and basically fill the promotion up. You know what I mean? And say, hey, you know, we don't have to just sit here and be on their particular schedule because the UFC has a very demanding schedule and they demand a lot when you sign with them, you know. But, look, I'll never tell a fighter man not to go make his money because that's how he makes a living and that's what it's about, being able to support your family. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whether you tear your knee up or, you know, you dislocate your shoulder or break your arm, whatever injury you have, you still have to deal with that injury, whether you get $1,500 or $15,000 or, you know, $1.5 million. You know what I mean? That injury is still the injury. And you see guys on the lower part of the totem pole, man, that can't recover. And the elite fighters, you know, they get the benefit of everything else, plus have the financial resources to sit out for 6 or 8 months. You know what I mean? To heal properly and get the type of medical attention that they need to continue their careers. With other guys, they don't. They have to either come back sooner or they have to fight hurt or act like they're okay, get a clearance to fight because they got to eat. And that's just a bad way to live all around. You're not making good decisions. You're making bad decisions based on finances. So it's a difficult place to be.
It's not just the fighters either because, you know, these poor guys have their coaches and their trainers telling them, hey, you need to fight because you need to pay your tab. You know, it goes more than just the fighter needing to feed their family. I mean, it's how some of these guys on the lower end of the spectrum are treated. It's baffling, you know. It really, and if everyone knew about it, it truly would give the sport a black eye, but it's just the way it is. And so, no, I will never tell a fighter to take less money to fight in a bigger organization. To me, that really doesn't make any sense. Make as much money as you can, because unfortunately, taking all those headshots, you're going to be spending a lot of it, you know, down the road on medical bills. So, I commend
Phil Davis. I say congratulations. I say, Phil, way to have enough testicular fortitude to sign that contract to, basically tell the UFC, guess what? You aren't the most important thing out there. And that's something that very few people are willing to do. And I think congratulations to Phil. I think it's great. I hope it works out. I hope he gets the fights that he's looking for. And I wish him the best. I think when Danny Brenner from Bellator called me up and told me that he was getting ready to send out a press release announcing that, I was ecstatic not only for Bellator, I was ecstatic for Phil Davis, because I think it's great for both of them.
Look, like I said, no doubt about it. Definitely no doubt about it. I think it sent waves to the UFC. I think they'll shrug it off as, he was just mediocre anyway. And it's all true facts. Like I said, to me, he's a boring fighter. He wins on points, and he just wins to win rounds. Nothing wrong with that. It's a sport. If it was a fight and he was fighting for his life, it would have to be something different. But he's never really been put in that place. And whenever he's been pressured or put in that place, a lot of times he's fallen on the down end of it because he doesn't commit enough to finish the fight. All the fights that he lost because he didn't bite down on his mouthpiece and throw caution to the wind. He just did what he could do. And then when he lost, that was it. And that's something that he's going to have to learn, at some point in time. But it is what it is. What other news really do we have before we start talking about
everything else? One big story that has come out this week. And fight fans, everybody can blame me for this one. I will take the heat. I look at this as it's entirely my fault. So last Friday, I come out and I announce the Nate Diaz-Matt Brown fight. It's a fight that I'm excited about, that I knew Matt Brown had signed the contract. I was under the impression. Now, I didn't talk to Little Diaz, but I was under the impression that Little Diaz had signed the bout. Not to mention, the UFC told me they were getting ready to announce it. So, here's the deal on that. I don't want to say that Nate backed out of the fight, because that's not the case. He said that he had no problem going up to 175 pounds. What he did say is he didn't want Matt Brown to be his next fight. He wanted to fight Anthony Pettis next, and he is staying true to that. He's making it very clear that his next fight is going to be Anthony Pettis. So what does that mean? Well, right now, off the top of my head, I can't remember the event, but Anthony Pettis and Miles Jury have signed bout agreements. That fight is set. So unless Miles Jury is willing to step away and let Diaz take that spot, I don't think the UFC is going to change that fight. I think they're just going to tell Nate, if you're dead set on fighting Anthony Pettis as your next fight, you're going to have to wait. And then if Anthony Pettis wins and is dominant, I think the UFC might just be telling Diaz, dude, you've not looked good in a while. You need to get some victories. So Nate had a great opportunity to fight Matt Brown. Even if you lose that fight, it's still a great opportunity for you to take that fight. And now he's being Diaz and throwing out these other cards. So, I guess I was premature on announcing that fight last week, and so I apologize to everyone. I personally feel like I jinxed it and I ruined it. If I didn't say anything, it would be happening. So I apologize, but, man, God, that was a fun one.
Well, man, it would have been all right. But look, the Diaz brothers haven't impressed me in years. Why? Because they haven't changed. Everybody knows that fighting style now. And once you get past those glaring and gaping holes that they both have, you can beat them. There's no doubt about it. I think Matt Brown, honestly, between us, was going to handle Nate Diaz because he sees those holes too, particularly leg kicks. See what I'm saying? They're both susceptible to leg kicks, way too susceptible. And that style of boxing that they have, it's just, very amateurish right now. You know, once you get past it, once you get past it, I think they both have lost a lot of speed, too, to be able to punch like that and hit their target like that. But that's I have neither here nor there. I'm very disappointed, so you know, about the Miles Jury Pettis fight. Jury just got handled by
Cerrone.
Just got handled, you know. I mean, look like a little kid, like a man beating a boy, if I can just say it in more urban terms. You see what I mean? And all of a sudden he gets
schoolyard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of a sudden he gets the former champ. I mean, is it just a stepping stone for Pettis to get his mojo back and step back in the game? And I don't get that fight. I don't get that fight at all. But, you know, then again, I'm not the UFC. So we'll see. We'll see how that works. Let's take a quick break. Come back with more UFC talk. We also have the event this weekend to talk about.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.
This is Boss Rutten, and you're listening to Knuckle Up. Da-na-na-na.
All right, we're back. Quick question. What did you think about this past UFC event with Krokop and Gonzaga? I mean, I realize it was the afternoon, but after I saw the whole card, the way the card went out, some fights were okay. I just, man, look, there's other things I had to do. I just recorded it and watched it, and even I even fast-forwarded it, really, just to see how the fight went between the main event, you know. I understand why this fight had to happen, because this was, truly was the fight that broke Krokop. Remember when he came into the UFC those years ago, he was the godsend from Pride to come and save the heavyweight division, and he was, if he got past Gonzaga, because they served Gonzaga up, remember? Then he
yep.
would then he would fight Randy, and he would be the title holder and so forth and so on. We all know, like I said, that was the fight that broke him. He was never the same after that head kick. It's been almost 8 years, you know? But I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed at all. I understand why he was motivated to take the fight, but like I said, I wasn't impressed with that bout at all. How did you see the whole card and then the main event?
Well, I mean this with all the respect in the world. I don't want to sound insulting, but I know once I say this question, it is insulting. So for what it's worth. I pose this question to the UFC. If that is what you think of Poland, and if that is what you think of putting an event on Fight Pass and all of that kind of stuff, then why do it? Because overall, that was not a good card. I mean, there were some fights that were okay, but that was not a good card. It's like they put on an event in Poland just to do it. There was a
yeah.
time... when the UFC would never do something like that. If they were going to go into Poland, they'd go in with a push or they wouldn't go in at all. And I understand Poland's small and all that kind of stuff, but, man, that was a card that wouldn't even have been on Spike TV back in the day. And so, you know, I just wonder, I understand why they did it, but I think we deserve better. I think they deserve better. And, again, if that's all you were going to put into it, then why do it? Now, with that being said, great victory for Krokop. You know, anytime you get a victory where he's at in his career, that's great. By no means was that a great fight for Krokop. The fight I watched, he was losing. He shouldn't have won that fight. Gonzaga should have finished him long before it ever got to the third round, ever before he was ever able to land those elbows, before he was ever able to cave in his face the way that he did. I don't know what was going on in Gonzaga's head, because he had Krokop with the panic look on his face, backpedaling. He had him on the ground. He had every opportunity to do what he needed to do to win that fight, and he did. That lets me know that Gabriel Gonzaga no longer has it. Krokop's still a fighter. There's no question about it. He's a gamer. He just doesn't have the skills anymore. He's old. He's slow.
the sport has passed him by, and that's no disrespect, but Mirko Krokop has not evolved since the days he dominated Pride. And
yeah,
the sport has evolved. So
there's no doubt about it.
Great victory, but terrible fight, if I'm just being honest. And again, both those guys would tear me up, spit me out, put me into a pretzel. There's no question about it. I could not beat either one of those guys up. So I'm not trying to say anything like that. But
no,
I am
but
saying
you know
that
what?
Was a
from
terrible
an analyst
fight.
Standpoint and a news journalist standpoint, you know, you have to have an opinion. And your opinion matters to the public, and you're right. You know, how are you going to attract more people to the UFC with that kind of fight and things that you put in place, even if it was just a throwaway fight? You know what I mean? So you're absolutely right. I mean, I have amateur skills, but I don't have professional skills. But you know what? I got a mouth, and I know I can fight. You know, well, you're not talking about sport. You see what I mean? I know how to fight. So, I mean, any way you cut it, I have an opinion. This is what I cover, and this is what I do. But that was, I hate to say it, and I hate to use these terms, but this is the only terms that I can use to show my disdain for what they did. It was piss poor. They never should have put that card on. Never should have. You know,
nope.
And I felt sorry for the people in Poland that were paying for it. But it's all good, man. Look, it's just my humble opinion. We have UFC to talk about this weekend on Fox, and this card has gone through a lot of changes. You know, it seems more stable now, but, I mean, come on. Main event, Chris Camozzi and Jacare too. If I remember correctly, Camozzi got handled by Jacare in their first fight, right?
Yes, he did. Yes,
so,
he did.
Is that the best that they can do because of the Jackson fight fell through?
Well, you know, obviously with the injunction on Jackson, he couldn't fight Fabio Maldonado. When Yoel Romero had to pull out because of injury, there weren't too many people that were willing to step up and fight Jacare. They actually were going to pull him off the card because no one wanted to fight. And Camozzi had actually posted on the Underground that he would love an opportunity for a rematch. Well, Joe Silva saw that, called Camozzi and Jason Gene, who's Chris Camozzi's manager, and, you know, they all talked about it and determined that it would be, you know, a good opportunity for Chris's career. Yeah, he's the underdog. Is he expected to win this fight? Absolutely not. I mean, he's going to be a very, very heavy underdog as far as odds makers go. But on first chance, yes, absolutely. He could catch Jacare and completely change his life. But if this fight goes to the ground again, there are a few people in the world that have a chance stopping Jacare from submitting him, and that's exactly what happened to Chris in the first fight. It was all right until Jacare said, I'm done playing around, got, you know, a nice clinch, got the takedown, tapped him out.
See, for me, this fight, man, the Swanson-Holloway fight should have been the co-main event, if I'm just being honest.
Oh, you know, I agree.
I think
completely.
Both of these guys are going to come and bring it. You know, and I think that that's going to be an exciting fight. I don't think this fight, any one of them are going to give an inch because they both have something to prove and they both want to be able to step back. You know what I mean? Max winning over Swanson is going to be a big feather in his cap, and Swanson needs to feel like he's still relevant. You know, it's the same thing with the main event. I don't think Machida has it anymore. I really don't. And I think Luke Rockhold is just going to use him as a stepping stone to get up to where he wants to be. I just beat Lyoto Machida, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, if I remember certainly correct, didn't Lyoto just lose his last fight too? Or he won?
Lyoto won his last fight, you know, and then lost the title fight before that.
Right.
But,
he lost to...
lost to Weidman, got handled, except for, you know, the fourth round where he showed a little bit of life. Now, going back to the Holloway-Swanson fight, absolutely, I agree that this should be the co-main event. This is going to steal the show. It's going to be the most exciting fight on the card. And, you know, Swanson definitely cannot lose this fight. If Cub loses this fight, he goes from former top two, top three guy to gatekeeper.
Yeah.
Now, Max Holloway, on the other hand, must win this fight. He wants to move up that ladder. You know, he wants to prove that his loss to Conor McGregor was really a fluke, that, you know, he should have won that fight. He wants to prove that he is one of the best in the division, and he's still a kid. So, both fighters have a lot to lose in this. And not only that, they're both beasts. This is going to be, I love Max Holloway to death. You know, I think this kid is the future of the division without question. And then Cub Swanson. I mean, he's Cub Swanson. He's been around forever and always been at the top of his game. I love that guy. No question, this is the most exciting fight on the card.
So we'll definitely see, brother, how it works out. You know what I mean? We'll definitely see how it works out. You know, but the UFC has some cards coming up and some events, and, you know, some are just what they are. We only have a few minutes left. I think we basically spoke about everything, but 2 minutes really quick. Let's just do the main. Well, let's pick around because there's some fighters on here that are all over the place. You know, Brandao was back. How do you see him winning that fight if he can?
Well, I think Diego needs to get back to being Diego. He needs to stop talking and stop acting psycho and just go out and be the kid that fought for his mom. You know, if everyone remembers when he was on the show the whole time, all he talked about was wanting to win the show so he could buy a home for his mom. He was dedicated and focused. Since then, he's lost all his dedication and all his focus. You know, he's been one of those guys that, you know, the limelight has really hurt him. He needs to get back, remember what brought him to the dance, and honestly, that was truly fighting for his mom. He needs to get back to that point, or I don't see him winning a fight again.
All right. How about St. Preux and Cummings?
I go back and forth on this. I love OSP, and Patrick Cummings is beginning to grow on me. I mean, obviously, he was humiliated by Daniel Cormier, but since then, he's looked decent. I still think OSP has the athletic edge, should win this fight, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Cummings, you know, come out on top. But if I was betting, I'd bet on OSP.
All right, Miller versus Darush.
Oh, man, I love Daniil. I love Daniil Dariush. The guy has got skills, and he is definitely one to watch, but he's fighting Jim Miller. And I love Jim Miller even more, and one of the things that I have learned is you don't pick against Jim Miller. And so I think Jim will figure out a way to Millerize him like he does everybody else, and he'll grind out a victory.
Herring versus Van Zandt.
I like Paige. You know, I think Paige didn't get the opportunity to compete on the reality show only because of her age. And I think, you know, she's young, she's hungry. I think she's going to go in there and show Paige, or show Felice what's up. I'm going with Paige Van Zandt.
All right, we talked about Holloway and Swanson. Who do you see seeing it, winning it?
I'm going with Cub, you know, but to be honest, no disrespect to Cub because I love him. I am pulling for Max Holloway.
All right, main event. Machida versus Rockhold.
I agree with you. I think Machida's best days are behind him. I think Rockhold's the bigger, stronger, lengthier fighter, uses his reach. I think he gets it done.
All right, fight fans, there you have it. Don't forget, for this or any other episode, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. For the latest news and information, you can go to the MMA Corner. That's themmacorner.com. Also, check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine at scrapfightmag.com. On the cover, you have
Olympian and UFC fighter Henry Cejudo on covering that. ScrapFightMag.com. Thanks, everybody, for sitting in. Stay knuckled up, and we'll talk next week.